This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. We are 3 days away from the Iowa caucuses. Tomorrow it will be two, then one, then finally, voters there will have their say. And if you believe the polls, there are no obvious outcomes for either party. We've called in our political brain trust on this New Year's Eve morning, NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson and political editor Ken Rudin, to let us know how things stand at this very moment. Good morning.
Good morning,
Renee.
Mara, let's start with you, if you don't mind. Give us a quick overview of the Republican side.
Well, Mitt Romney, who had been the front runner in Iowa and New Hampshire, is now fighting off two serious challenges, one from Huckabee in Iowa, who managed to surge above him in the polls, and John McCain in New Hampshire. And he's running negative ads against both of them. And there is some evidence that, at least in Iowa, against Huckabee, those ads are working, where Huckabee's rise in some polls seems to have stalled. Now, the dirty little secret about negative ads is that even though voters in Iowa in particular say they don't like them at all, the fact is they do work, especially against someone who's not as well known, like Huckabee. And in the Republican field in Iowa, where the other candidates are way behind, there's less danger that those kinds of negative ads would boomerang against Romney and help a third candidate. Now, that's not the case on the Democratic side.
Now, Mara, I noticed you didn't mention the name of the front runner, the national front runner, Rudy Giuliani.
Well, he's the shrinking national front runner, I guess. He is the forgotten man in this race because he's not really competing in Iowa. He is employing this very unusual strategy of kind of waiting for Florida. He's staked his campaign on starting to win on January 29th in Florida and then the big states on February 5th. The big question that everyone has is that can he afford to lose Iowa, New Hampshire, Michigan, South Carolina, all those states, and then start winning quite late in the game. But right now, at least in this first inning, he is the forgotten man.
Ken, turning to you, what's the state of play on the Democratic side?
Well, unlike the Republicans, at least in Iowa, it seems to be the same three names we've been hearing for the last couple of weeks, if not the last couple of months. John Edwards, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. There was a Mason-Dixon poll released yesterday that had Edwards 24, Clinton 23, Obama 22. You can't get much closer than that. And unlike the Republican side, the Democrats seem to be more nervous about going launching negative attacks. I guess they fear that what happened in 2004, Howard Dean and Richard Gephardt were seen as the front runners. They got into this scrap, this personal thing. They brought each other down, and it elevated people like John Kerry and John Edwards, who did very well in Iowa. The buzz seems to be about John Edwards. Polls show that among the veteran caucus goers, people who have attended caucuses in the past, he seems to be doing the best. He seems to be the number two choice of many candidates, and that's very important because, you know, we keep talking about experience, and if you look at Joe Biden and Chris Dodd and Bill Richardson, they have tons of experience, but they're really right now fighting it out for fourth place. So if the supporters of Dodd, Richardson, and Biden have to go somewhere else, if they're not viable in the first round of the caucuses, they may look for another candidate, and that candidate could be Edwards.
And, of course, a major news story that would have hit all of these candidates in a way, the assassination of Benazir Bhutto, of course, former prime minister and opposition leader in Pakistan. This would have seemed to have presented an opportunity to the candidates to show how they'd react to a big, unexpected event with potentially major foreign policy implications. How did they respond?
Well, it was an opportunity, Renee. They all tried to show off their foreign policy credentials, turn it to their advantage. John Edwards managed to call Musharraf, the leader of Pakistan, and insist that he continue on the path to democratization. But for some other candidates, they had a little bit of problems. Huckabee, for example, tried to tie the assassination to the immigration problem, talking about the large numbers of Pakistanis who come over our southern border, and that was roundly criticized by his rivals in the Republican field. And Barack Obama, his campaign manager, his chief strategist, David Axelrod, tried to tie the assassination back to the vote on the Iraq War, which, of course, is the biggest difference between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, saying that voting for the war distracted attention from fighting al-Qaeda and the problems in Pakistan.
Ken, we just got seconds to go here, but just wrap this up with a sort of odd a thought at the end. Democrats, Republicans meeting in Oklahoma next week to discuss a possible independent candidacy. Who would that be?
Well, it could be Michael Bloomberg, and more importantly, it could be his $500 million that the rumors are that he could put towards an independent candidacy. There's a meeting in Oklahoma City on January 7th, the day before the New Hampshire primary, where Sam Nunn, Chuck Robb, Chuck Hagel, Democrats and Republicans both, are looking at the possibility that if this campaign continues to be ugly, there might be a third option.
Thank you both, political editor Ken Rudin, NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson.